It's 23 hours Universal Time, and here is the news from the Voice of America. I'm David Kohler from the VOA News Center in Washington. Al-Qaeda in Iraq says its forces used a shoulder-launched Russian-built missile to shoot down a U.S. helicopter. A statement posted on the Internet claims the hit caused the crash of the Super Cobra helicopter Wednesday over the city of Ramadi. A U.S. spokesman says the cause of the crash is still not clear, and the military is investigating. He said witnesses reported the chopper was hit by ground fire and caught fire before crashing, killing two Marines on board. The International Committee of the Red Cross is calling for access to all foreign terrorism suspects held by the United States. The request follows news media reports of a secret prison system for Al-Qaeda captives set up by the U.S. Central Intelligence Agency. According to the Washington Post and NBC News, the CIA has been interrogating prisoners at a secret facility in Eastern Europe. U.S. officials have declined comment. The Red Cross says access to all detainees is an important humanitarian priority. Over the strong objections of environmentalists, the U.S. Senate has voted to allow oil drilling in Alaska's Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. VOA's Deborah Tate reports.
The chairman of the Senate Energy Committee praised the Senate action, saying opening up the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge to oil drilling would help ease the United States' dependence on oil imports, create jobs, and raise billions of dollars in leasing fees for the federal government. The Senate action came during consideration of a massive budget bill, which, among other things, calls for allowing oil drilling in the Arctic Refuge. Senators, in a narrow 51-48 vote, defeated an amendment that would have removed the drilling authority from the bill. The amendment sponsor, Senator Maria Cantwell, a Washington State Democrat, said drilling in the Arctic Refuge would do little to meet U.S. energy needs and would harm the environment.
It's a false promise that somehow this can be done in an environmentally sensitive way and that the area that we've called for so long, the Arctic Wildlife Refuge, can be preserved as it is.
Deborah Tate, VOA News, Capitol Hill.
3 days of clashes between Ethiopian police and demonstrators in the capital Addis Ababa have left at least 42 people dead and more than 150 hurt. Doctors say at least three people were killed Thursday as police battled demonstrators in several parts of the city. Opposition supporters have been protesting last May's elections, alleging massive fraud. Authorities have arrested scores of demonstrators and some opposition leaders, accusing them of inciting the violence. In France, rioting spread again today in Paris's northeastern suburbs. Ignoring an appeal for calm by President Jacques Chirac, rampaging youths of North African descent shot at police and firefighters after burning car dealerships and buses and throwing rocks at commuter trains. Prime Minister Dominique de Villepin called emergency meetings with cabinet ministers throughout the day. The riots started last Thursday after the deaths of two teenagers who were running from police. President Bush is expected to push for reactivating a proposal for a free trade zone for the Western Hemisphere at this week's Summit of the Americas in Argentina. VOA's Michael Bowman reports from Mar del Plata.
The free trade area of the Americas has yet to be negotiated, and proponents point out that provisions can be inserted to protect the rights of Native Americans and others. The Bush administration has pushed for the FTAA to be included in the agenda of the Summit of the Americas, but has met stiff resistance from nations like Brazil and Venezuela. In defending the proposal, Mr. Bush recently said that open trade is more effective than foreign aid and international loans in addressing people's needs, combating poverty, and making nations fiscally stronger. He also said he is aware that not all of his policy decisions regarding Latin America are popular, but that the nations of the region do not have to agree with the United States all of the time in order for good relations to exist. Tens of thousands of protesters are expected to converge on Mar del Plata by Friday. Argentina has deployed 8,000 security forces to the seaside municipality ahead of the summit. Michael Bowman, VOA News, Mar del Plata.
On Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average rose 50 points Thursday to close at 10,523. The S&P 500 gained 5 points to close at 1220. And the Nasdaq advanced 16 points to hit 2160. I'm David Kohler, VOA News.
Welcome to Asia News Now. From the Voice of America in Washington, I'm Neil Curry. Coming up in this half hour, Indonesian authorities declined to reduce the prison sentence of a militant Muslim cleric. A prominent economist warns a bird flu pandemic could not only kill numbers of people, but trigger a global economic recession as well.
The fact that people panic, that their consumption declines, is much more important economically than the actual impact of the disease. And this is something we saw with SARS as well. Very few people were actually affected by SARS, and yet it caused a significant slowdown in economic growth.
There's a notable absence of this U.S.-hosted gathering of top Asian military officials, China. It had an invitation, and Asian and U.S. military leaders were anxious to talk with their Chinese counterparts. Those stories and more straight ahead on VOA Asia News Now. Indonesian authorities will not reduce the prison sentence of militant Muslim cleric Abu Bakar Bashir, as is sometimes done for prisoners, to mark the end of the Muslim holy fasting month of Ramadan. His lawyer tells VOA's Nancy Amelia Collins Australia is to blame for the decision.
Abu Bakar Bashir, the alleged spiritual leader of the regional terrorist network Jamaah Islamiyah, is in jail for complicity in the 2002 Bali bombings that killed 202 people. The 66-year-old cleric already had 4.5 months taken off his original 30-month sentence earlier this year. Indonesia traditionally reduces prison sentences during major holidays for inmates who exhibit good conduct, and it was widely expected that Bashir would benefit from this as the Ramadan holy month comes to a close. But one of Bashir's lawyers, Wirawan Adnan, told VOA Thursday that his client would not be receiving another reduction. He says Bashir will not protest the decision.
Abu Bakar says I should just accept it, and it's not worth it to make a big deal of this decision. It's only going to jeopardize my relationships with the head of the prison here, so just don't make a fuss.
The decision is likely to please Australia, which lost 88 of its citizens in the 2002 bombing, and another 4 on October 1st, when suicide bombers again struck Bali and killed another 20 people. Australian officials have repeatedly stated they do not want Bashir to have any more time taken off his sentence. He is currently expected to be released from jail in early June. Nancy Amelia Collins, VOA News, Jakarta.
The Asian Development Bank estimates a bird flu pandemic would have a massive impact on Asian economies, causing nearly $300 billion damage and possibly forcing the entire world into recession. Douglas Baxton reports from Manila.
The ADB report bases its projections in part on the impact of the SARS epidemic in 2003, which began in southern China and spread as far as North America and South America. The ADB estimates the economic impact of SARS in East Asia alone was around $18 billion. The SARS epidemic lasted only for several months, infected about 8,000 people, and killed 800 worldwide. But a bird flu pandemic involving the H5N1 strain of the virus is forecast to be much more damaging in human and economic terms. The ADB report quotes the World Health Organization estimating that between 2 and 7 million people could die worldwide. Other estimates are much higher. Eric Bloom, the ADB economist who is the lead author of the report, sees two possible economic scenarios in a bird flu pandemic.
In the first scenario, we're looking at a relatively short psychological impact lasting about 2 quarters. And in this case, we would expect to see demand and particularly the trade and services to decline significantly for about 2 quarters. In the second scenario, we consider a much longer psychological impact, which consumption and the trade and services declines for about a year. Under the second scenario, the economic impact is substantially more severe.
In the first case, the ADB says Asia could suffer a total of about $113 billion in losses. In the second case, it says, the figure jumps to about $297 billion. While the global trade in goods and services would shrink by around 14%, the equivalent of $2.5 trillion. This would likely force the world into a recession. Mr. Bloom notes that the psychological impact of such a disease is much greater than the direct results of sick workers and lost production.
The fact that people panic, that their consumption declines, is much more important economically than the actual impact of the disease. And this is something we saw with SARS as well. Very few people were actually affected by SARS, and yet it caused a significant slowdown in economic growth.
Mr. Bloom says economies would suffer from a decline in activities that require personal contact, such as dining out, movies, domestic travel, and trade shows. He noted that this was the case in Hong Kong and Singapore, two major Asian business centers during the SARS outbreak. Douglas Faction for VOA News, Manila.
The possibility of a bird flu pandemic came up for discussion when the United States Pacific Commander hosted a meeting of senior military officers from throughout Asia and Hawaii recently. Admiral William Fallon says they made progress in addressing several issues that affect regional security, bird flu being one of them, but the admiral says they were disappointed China again declined to attend the annual gathering. VOA Defense Correspondent Al Pessin interviewed the admiral by telephone.
Admiral Fallon says the 8th annual meeting focused on four issues that cross national boundaries: maritime security, counterterrorism, the proliferation of weapons of mass destruction, and the potential for an avian flu pandemic. He says the officials from 22 countries were seeking common responses to some common challenges. But the admiral says there was also a broader purpose for the meeting.
It's an opportunity for us to get together, the only opportunity that I'm aware of where you can get these military chiefs to sit down, get to know one another, to talk about items of common interest. The extent to which we can facilitate this kind of interaction, I think, goes a long way to getting people in a position where they feel much more comfortable dealing with one another.
In the 9 months since Admiral Fallon took over the U.S. Pacific Command, which stretches from the west coast of the United States to the east coast of Africa, his forces have been involved in two major humanitarian efforts, responding to the tsunami in Southeast Asia and helping with earthquake relief in India. He says some operations have gone well, but others could have worked more smoothly with more advanced planning and better contacts among the various military organizations involved. He says that type of planning and contact development was a key goal of the meeting, and some progress was made.
There are